You have your Bibles, Romans chapter 8. We're going to be looking at verses 12 through 17 as we look today at adopted into God's family. And I want to start reading in verse 12 and read it first, and then we'll pray and go look at it in closer measure. Notice what he says. Therefore, brethren, we are debtors, not to the flesh, to live according to the flesh. For if you live according to the flesh, you'll die. But if by the Spirit you put to death the deeds of the body, you'll live. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, these are the sons of God. For you did not receive the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you received the spirit of adoption, by whom we cry out, Abba, Father. The Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God, and if children, then heirs, heirs of God, and joint heirs with Christ, if indeed we suffer with him, that we may also be glorified together. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for this morning, and once again, we need your Holy Spirit to bring your word to life to us. Let our minds wake up, God. Quicken our spirits to be in tune and to listen. Pray, help us to remove all other distractions and to hear what the Spirit would say to the church today. And God, what an important message that you have adopted us as children in your family. And so, Father, I pray that you would help us to understand how wonderful that really is by the time we're done today. And Lord, anyone that's feeling left out, if they're a part of your family and they feel somehow left out, they would feel so welcomed in your family by the time we're done. And Lord, even more importantly, if anyone is here today or listening to this who has not been brought into your family, that today would be the day they'd come to know you. So Lord, pour out your spirit now and minister to your people. And we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Adopted in God's family. Now, everyone wants to belong to a family. Maybe you've recognized that. Some of you might say, well, I don't need to belong to a family. Yes, you do. Everyone on the inside, deep inside, they desire to belong to a family. And the drive is so strong that some people are willing to get involved in families the wrong way and maybe even the wrong kind of family. And what do I mean by that? Well, just this past week, I was watching a documentary about gangs and about kids who get into gangs and watching them interview these gang members as to why did you get in a gang? What were you doing in a gang? What is your motivation? Tell me where you're coming from. And one after another, they said, I wanted to be loved and I wanted to be in a family. And that just struck me, especially in a lot of what we're looking at today, because all of us have that same desire. We want to be loved and we want to be in a family. And the desire is so great that some people will go to a life of crime and maybe even murder in order to achieve it. And that's what some of these gang members were doing. And so that shows me that if a gang member is willing to sacrifice their life, possibly at the end of a gun, or live a life of crime so that someone will call them brother, so that someone will call them family and take them in, then that desire must be very, very strong and very, very deep in the heart of man. And I recognize that desire is there. And those of you this morning who don't have that solid family function, that's how you feel. Now, those of you who have a solid family, you grew up in a mom and dad home and everything was loving and everything was like that. There are about one out of a billion that are like that. If you were in one of those, now I'm not saying that families don't have good families. I'm saying that everything's perfect. But if you're in one of those families that everything was just perfect, so to speak, it's hard for you to associate. But if you're like most of the people around the planet, there's something wrong in every family. You know, the terminology we use, dysfunctional family, I don't mean this in a flippant way, but it's hard to find one that's functional. And that is even when you have a mother and a father, and even when the home is run generally right, there are going to be problems. And the reason there's going to be dysfunction in most every family on the planet is because there's sin. That's the reality of who we are. It just depends on what level of problems we have in our family. But all of us have this desire for family, this desire to be loved. And what we're going to be seeing today is God is fulfilling that through adopting us into his family. He is fulfilling that desire for family. He's fulfilling that desire for love. And some of you are saying, I never did have the family that I wanted. My mom never loved me. My dad never loved me. I never got along with my brothers or sisters. The exciting thing about the passage that we're looking at today is that you are accepted in the family of God. And although you may not realize it and recognize it fully now, one day you're going to be in a family that is totally functional, so to speak, and it's going to be a family that's loving and eternal. And guys, believe it or not, all of us are going to be there that know the Lord. So it's not just in God's family, it's all of us in God's family. And that longing that we all have is one day going to be fulfilled in the right way. The good news is that longing can also be fulfilled in a right way if we simply give our life to the Lord now. We may not realize it in full, but you become a full member of the family of God. And we're going to see this today as we go through this passage. The moment you give your life to the Lord, you become a full and accepted member into the family of God. You are put into God's family with Jesus Christ. Get this, as your brother. Yes, he's your God, But Jesus said he is also our older brother. So it's almost like we have this connection because God, part God, became man. Now we have this connection to God where God is our God, but God is also our brother. And you talk about a family unit. Guys, it's just an amazing thing to realize what God has really done for us. Now, some of you might be saying, okay, great. Mark, you said that I've been adopted into the family. Well, you know, I'm probably going to be like the redheaded stepchild. I'm going to be like the one that nobody loves and that nobody cares about and that everybody's going to, you know, I'll kind of just be the outcast because that's how it's been down here. Listen, in heaven, as we're going to see in today's passage, you are a full and accepted member of the family. And the exciting thing is you were chosen before the foundations of the earth. So it wasn't like God looked at you and goes, ah, rapture in the 30 seconds, I'm going to let him in. No, you were chosen before the foundation of the earth, and you were chosen in full status as a child of God, as in the family, with all the rights that come with that. And we'll get into that in just a little bit as we get into the passage. Now, remember it says the Bible chose us beforehand, but now all we have is a picture of adoption down here. So I don't want you to get the wrong picture. Some of you might be thinking, yeah, God just let me come in. No, you are already chosen. You're already a family member. Your adoption is simply the time that it becomes official. And that's exactly what we're going to be looking at today. The belonging in a family and the officialness of that family and who you are in your identity in being a family member of God. Rudyard Kipling once wrote this about families. He said, all of us in a family are we. Everyone else is they. A family shares things like dreams, hopes, possessions, memories, smiles, frowns, and gladness. A family is a clan held together with the glue of love and the cement of mutual respect. A family is shelter from the storm, a friendly port when the waves of life become too wild. No person is ever alone who is the member of a family. And let me just add that anyone who comes to Jesus will not be left out of the family. If you come, the Lord will accept you. And so you will not be the one left out. You will not be the one that didn't fit in any longer. I don't know what your childhood was like, but I was always the one that was kind of left out. I mean, you know, even in baseball, that was my position, left out. No, I'm just kidding. But I played, you know, or get in football, it was get back. Every time I got up, he'd say, get back over there and sit down. So I played a lot of different things in sports and in other things in life, but I never really fit in. I never really was kind of there. And then even in my own family, I never really fit in. I just kind of was the one that didn't seem to belong there. And then on top of that, we moved like every 2 or 3 years because my dad was a Methodist pastor. And so every time I would go to a new school, I was the new kid. And once again, I was the new kid who didn't really fit in. And then after a few years of that, I would leave and go to another new school where I was the new kid that didn't fit in. And my entire life was kind of this new kid that didn't fit in. And it was so wonderful when I came to know the Lord to realize now I finally fit in. It doesn't matter what your personality's like. It doesn't matter whether you feel awkward or whether you feel strange or whether you're clumsy or whether you're all together or whatever your status might be. In the family, it's all one in Jesus. And guys, I look forward to the day when we're going to be in the kingdom of God and we're all going to be there just in mutual love and in mutual affection for God and for each other, just living out this life in the family of God forever in His glory. Is that going to be amazing or what? And that's true family. Listen, that's true family. Because some of you guys right now are saying, well, you don't understand. I never really seem like I fit into my family. And yes, I understand getting other families, but you're not really blood. You're not really blood if you go to another family. Listen, Jesus Christ died on the cross and shed His blood, and it was by and through blood that you were adopted into the family, which means this, you are blood family with Jesus Christ and with God, and there's no greater blood than the blood of Jesus Christ. It doesn't get any more blood family than that. As a matter of fact, I know I can say this. I know probably many of you can say this in here. You feel like the people in this room are closer to you than your own real family because we know Christ and we know each other and we have a connection that the world doesn't have. And so Paul, again, is going to address this today. Now, last week we ended with Paul urging us as followers of Jesus to make sure that we're walking in the Spirit and not walking in the flesh. Remember that comparison he was making. Make sure you're in the Spirit, not in the flesh. This week, he continues that theme, but now he adds another reason that we're in this theme, that we're not just believers in God, but we're also adopted into the family, not just to walk into the Spirit because we want to be with God, but to walk in the Spirit because we know God and we're a part of His own. And so Paul's going to get into that. So again, look at verse 12. It says, "Therefore, brethren, we are debtors, not to the flesh to live according to the flesh. For if you live according to the flesh, you will die. But if by the Spirit you put to death the deeds of the body, you will live." Now, several things to note here. Notice, first of all, it's interesting that he says we're set free from sin and death through Jesus, but at the same time, we have become debtors of sorts to him for what he's done for us. He says we're now debtors to him. Now, this is not a debt of bondage. This is a debt of thankfulness. This is a debt of, "Lord, you gave your life for me, and you saved me, and you've brought me into the kingdom. And not only brought me into the kingdom, you've made me a part of your family." And there's this feeling of what we owe back to the Lord. Again, not some type of works thing, but again, because it's the right thing to do. Romans 12:1 says this, "I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God," note this, "which is your reasonable service." And note the word reasonable. What he's saying is, because of all that the Lord has done for us, it is reasonable that we would have a debt to him, that we would love him, that we would owe this to him. Guys, that's reasonable. We've been adopted into the family. And so, again, because of that, we owe this back to the Lord. It's interesting as well, because it says here in verse 13, if we live according to the flesh, we'll die. If we live by the Spirit and put to death the flesh, then we'll live. It's speaking here in the language of living that way as a habit of life. In other words, if you live by the flesh as a habit of life, you're going to die. You'll die physically and spiritually. Now, Mark, you say, "Well, we all die." Yeah, but there's a big difference in having a life that always seems like death and a life in Jesus Christ that seems alive. Jesus said, "I've come to give life and life more abundantly." So even though we do die in these bodies, you can have life in Christ that's full while you're down here. But in addition, you have eternal life with God by receiving Jesus and living with him as his family member. So it's how we live as a habit of life, and that's what Paul's talking about. And if we live this way, we're going to have life. And notice he says, "For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, these are the sons of God." Now, this is interesting, because here is another, what I'll call, an identifier of those who are in Jesus Christ. There should be certain identifiers in your life that you know the Lord. Because if you don't have identifiers in your life that you know the Lord, you don't. Now, what do I mean by that? I grew up an unsaved preacher's kid for 25 years. I told people I was saved. I told people I was going to heaven. I wasn't knowledgeably lying. I really thought I was saved. I had been taught that everyone's going to heaven. And I thought that group of people that used the terminology born again were just a certain group that used it, and they were just a little bit different, and, you know, kind of stay away from them, let them, that's fine for them or whatever. It wasn't until I came to Jesus Christ that I realized, no, you can't just say you're a Christian. You have to be born again. And you have to be born again to be adopted into the family. Well, this is an identifier. This is one of those things that will show you that you have been adopted in, that you are in the family, and that is that you're led by the Spirit of God. The question is, are you led by the Spirit of God? Is it yourself leading yourself, or is it the Spirit of God leading you? It's not judging. It's called recognizing the fruit. And if you don't know that you're led by the Spirit of God and you can't sense that leading of the Lord, that's a strong indicator. You're either walking in the flesh or you don't know the Lord. You know, I had people in my life that loved me enough to recognize the fruit in my life was not godly. Now, a lot of people get upset and they'll say, "Well, don't judge me, man. Don't judge me." Listen, we're not called to judge people in an ungodly and wrong way, but we are supposed to be fruit inspectors. The reason God wants us to be fruit inspectors, Jesus said, "You'll know them by their fruit." If we don't inspect the fruit of the people around us, how will we know who to share the gospel with? You know, I'm probably one of the worst at this, and God is leading me through this as I grow, but because I was one of those people who told everyone I was a Christian, and I wasn't, whenever I run into someone and they say, "Well, I'm a Christian," I begin to probe more. Really? "Well, tell me about when you gave your life to the Lord." "Well, do you know that you know him? Does he speak to you?" And I begin to ask certain questions because I want to make sure that person really knows the Lord. And guys, we need to all challenge ourselves with that. Do we really know him? One of the identifiers, as we said, is being led by the Spirit, because it separates those who are followers of God and those who are not followers of God. But again, also notice he makes a distinction here. He says those that are led by God are the children of God. They're sons of God. And why is this so important? Because Paul is saying here that not everyone is a child of God. How many of you heard the phrase, well, we're all children of God? Everyone in here, I would say, has heard that phrase because the world uses it all the time. That is a false statement. Everyone is not a child of God. Only those who have been born again and been adopted into the body of Christ are a child of God. But they don't know that, so they say the same thing that I used to say before I understood the real family, and they include themselves in it. No, they're not children of God. It is a true statement to say that everyone is created by God. So the whole world is created by God, but you have created, and then you have the family of God, those adopted in, those who truly belong to the Lord. John 1, verses 12 through 13 really lays it out clearly. Notice what he says. John says, but as many as received him, that is Jesus, notice this, to them he gave the right to become children of God. So first you have to get the right to be a child of God. Then you have to become a child of God. What gives you the right? Jesus Christ and what he did on the cross. How can you become that? By saying, Lord, forgive me of my sins. I ask you into my heart and I give my life to you. Did you know being a believer does not make you a Christian? Did you know being a believer does not guarantee that you'll go to heaven? Did you know the Bible says the demons believe and yet they'll not be in heaven? Listen, there is not one demon in this universe who is not a believer. And yet not one of them will be in the kingdom of God. Wow. You mean so that if I believe in Jesus, that's not enough? No, it's not enough. Notice what he says. But as many as, and look at this word here, the next one, received. As many as received him, not just believed. You've got to take that step and say, I receive you as my Lord and my Savior. I do it in my heart. This is not something from my lips. It's not something from my head. This is from me. And Lord, I receive you. To them he gave the right to become children of God, to those who believe in his name, who were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. And so he's saying, if you are not adopted into the family of God by receiving Jesus as Lord, you're not a child of God, and you'll not go to heaven. Very important. It was extremely important for me and my salvation, and it's extremely important for all of us to understand here in case you've not made that step, or anyone you may be ministering to or sharing the Lord with. Even if they say they're a believer, you might want to ask them a few questions. If they say, I'm a believer, go, okay, they're with the demons. What's next, right? Let's move on. Notice what he says next. For you did not receive the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you received the spirit of adoption by whom we cry out, Abba, Father. Now he gets into the adoption. He kind of talks about the spirit, the flesh. Now he shifts into that gear of the adoption, which is so wonderful. And he says here, at natural birth, you see, we're under a spirit of bondage to sin and fear. Why? Because we live in sin and we know that one day we're going to die and we're afraid to die. Listen, when you think about dying, it's not a pleasant thing to think about dying. Now, the neat thing is when you give your life to the Lord, the fear of death goes away. Now, the method by which you die might still concern you. You know, I don't want to die after saying something like, watch this. You know, I don't want to go that way. I don't want to go that way, okay? But I know this, even if I go that way, what's going to happen? I'm in the kingdom of God. So there's no fear. There's no fear of what's going to happen because I know that no matter what happens here, I'm with him forever. That fear is there at birth. The natural man has that fear. And if you're here today and don't know Jesus Christ, you're still afraid of death. You know, man is so afraid of death. You know, they're trying to defeat death by so many ways. Listen, I read about technology just this last week or maybe the week before. They're actually trying to take the information that's in a human's brain and who they are and download it into robots, into computers. And somehow they say they're getting close to doing that. And they say that when the people die, yes, they're dead, but who they were and what they were thinking and their personality and all can somehow be in this thing that can carry on. Now, I don't know what the person dying would get any benefit out of that because that wouldn't be satisfying to me. I'm still dead, right? But this is how badly mankind wants to live. They fear death. The neat thing about Jesus Christ is we don't have to fear death because we will never die. We live forever, and we live forever in the kingdom of God. He says, you've been set free from this death, this fear of death. You're not putting that bondage again to fear, but you've received the spirit of adoption by which we cry out, Abba, Father. What an amazing privilege that we've been adopted into God's family. And by blood, we are supernaturally, and this is interesting, guys, note this. What this means here in the language is we are now supernaturally, literally, a true and legitimate child of God. It's not like God just said, okay, I'm going to add you on, like we said. He chose before the foundation of the earth that you would be in his family, and now that you're adopted in, you are a true and legitimate child. And that's exactly how the adoptions went in that day, which we'll get to in just a moment. But again, because of this, there's no bondage, there's no fear. It's like a natural child crying, Abba, Father, and it means in the language here with great emotion. Now, I think it's important that we understand what adoption was like in that day, because this really brings the picture home of what God is trying to say to us in this passage as far as us being kids. That is, we are adopted in, fully children, no questions asked. It's almost like we can't even look back and say, yeah, I remember what it was like before I was adopted. Once you're brought into God's family, there's no remembrance of not being a family member, because you've always been one, even before you knew it, even before you chose it. God chose you before the foundation of the earth, and you are a child of God. So you don't even have to feel like you don't belong. You already are a part of it from the very beginning. And Paul uses the Romans here to write this and this whole subject of adoption in relation to the Romans, because the Holy Spirit had him do this. Because again, it gives us such a picture of what it's like to God when we're adopted. Now listen to what a Roman adoption was like. I love this. Number one, it was arranged privately and then later announced publicly. What happens when you give your life to the Lord? It's something that happens privately. You and God. You ask him in your heart, you're born again, and there it is. But you're already in the family, but it's not been announced yet. The second thing they would do, they would wait for a formal announcement until a special time, although it was already legal and completed beforehand. Guys, there's all kinds of applications there. That is, God brings us in, and the moment we tell someone, then now we're announcing the fact that we're a child of God and we're part of his family. But this is even more exciting to me, because the Bible says there'll be a day that we will be presented to the Father and to Jesus as his family. We're going to be presented before the Father. That's going to be the day where it's already done. We're already a family member, but it's like Jesus is going to be saying, this is my brother, Mark. You are kidding me. You are kidding me. Remember growing up as a kid and meeting somebody, that's your brother? Wow, that's your brother. He's cool. Listen, that's your brother? He's God. Wow, that's cool. That's your brother. That's the family that you belong to. You've already been chosen, and now you're going to be presented on that day. Now, it gets even better. Listen to this. You were then taken out of your previous condition. Whatever your former life was, you were completely taken out of it. All of your old debts were canceled and paid for by your new family. So all debts are gone. You had a brand new life that you started with your new family name. And you were entitled as a part of the family member to every part of the family inheritance as a fully recognized member of the family. Wow. That's you. Everything you've done has been washed away. It's completely paid for by the cross. You've now been taken in as a full family member, no memory of the past, with all rights and privileges of the family. Is that awesome or what? Now, again, what was the next thing? You had also, note this, you had full rights and acceptance, I love this, as a natural born adult child. Natural born. It wasn't like you were adopted. It was natural born is the way they saw you. No one ever questioned, were you adopted? Who were your real parents? Whatever. No. Once you were in the family, those were your parents. This was your real family. You had always been a part of that family. You had all the rights to that family, and you were the same as everyone in that family. That is what the Lord has done for you. And I love this. You have all the natural born adult privileges. That is, God has given you the kingdom now. Now, some of us don't use it properly, and we're not the best stewards with it, but you're a part of the family now. You don't have to wait until you get to heaven to be a part of the family and have the full inheritance. You have to wait to receive the full inheritance to get to heaven. Some of you might like to do an early withdrawal on that, right? You have to wait until you get there, but guys, you're a child in good standing with all of that to your credit. And this last one is the one that really just ministered to me the most. Once you became a member of that family, the new father, the one who adopted you, now owned you. You were his, but in a good way, not a bad way, not a slave, not to debt, but to love and to be taken care of. You belong to him, number one. He controlled your personal relationships, and he had the right of discipline. Does that not describe our father or what? He has purchased us with his blood. We belong to him. He controls our life as long as we let him. And if we let him, it will always be good. If we don't, it's bad. And he also disciplines us. Why? Because he loves us. But guys, out of all of this, the last one here, and this is a part of that last one, it means the most to me of all of this, because listen what it says. He assumed all personal responsibility for the new child and all of his liability for his actions. Wow. Let me put that another way. Every mess up and mistake and problem that that child did and caused, the father says, it's now mine. I'll take care of it. You stand over here, son. I'm responsible for all of it. Is that awesome or what? I guess it depends on how much you messed up, how awesome that is. You know, God gave me a picture of this back when I was a baby Christian. I told you about going to Nashville and being in Nashville this past week and going to see a family that took me in when I first gave my life to the Lord. I'd given my life to the Lord. I was really messed up in drugs and alcohol, the whole scene, Nashville, the whole thing there, music and all. And I remember I gave my life to the Lord and I was all by myself. I had no family there. I had nobody around me. I didn't really know anybody but the guys I hung out with in the clubs. And I didn't really want to continue to hang out with the guys in the clubs, right? And so I'm thinking, God, what am I going to do? And God just brought this family into my life, Scott and Glenda. He brought them into my life, and they made me a part of their family. They would bring me over after Sunday. They would invite me to things. They just kind of really took care of me and brought me in. And so as I got a part of that family, I didn't realize now what a picture that is, really until I started teaching this in first service. I didn't realize what a picture God had given me of truly being adopted into the family, because they took me in like I was their own, and they accepted responsibility even for my expenses in many cases. For example, when Scott said, hey, you're a mess. You need a job. Here, mow my grass until you find something. And of course, I ran over several articles and destroyed things in his yard. That's the kind of person I can break things really good. My uncle used to say, that boy could break a steel ball in the desert. You know, I mean, so that's kind of what he would say. One time I put soap powders in his tropical expensive fish tank. It was awesome. But strangely, all the beautiful, expensive fish just floated to the top on their side. I can't explain that one. Anyway, that was how I got off on that. But that's just kind of my life. I tend to break things. And I remember when I did that, I was afraid to tell him, Scott, I ran over your wall and broke it and tore the bricks up. And he just kind of like, wow, how'd you do that, man? Oh, don't worry about it. I'll take care of it. And I'm like, whew, you know, that's good. No big worries there. And I thought, well, that'll never happen again until he hired me to work in his gymnastics business. And he brought me on as a gym coach. Now, mind you, I'd never been a gym coach. I'd never taken gymnastics. When I was a kid, Tracy, who took gymnastics, taught me how to do something called the crab or something, and I hurt my back. I couldn't, like, for days, I was like, right? All of a sudden, he brings me in as a gym coach. And then this gym coach in Nashville, right? And I would travel everywhere, you know, I'd have this place where the kids would come to me, and sometimes I would travel to the kids and do classes, and I would do the basic tumbling and the things like that, which Scott taught me. But I remember he had these things they called cheese wedges. Now, if you've been in the gyms, you've seen these things. They're yellow, they're blue. They have that wedge look to them like a cheese wedge. And they're probably about $400 or $500 a piece. I remember they were very expensive. And Scott would say, dear, take these with you. And I knew they were expensive, but you'll need them for the class. I have this tendency and this ability for things in my truck to just kind of fly out. Now, I don't know where that came from, but no matter what I do to it, no matter how I tie it down, it just kind of finds its way out the back. So I threw a cheese wedge in there, and I'm traveling down 65, going to a class, either going to one or coming back, I can't remember. And to my horror, there it goes. And I see in my back window this big cheese wedge fly. I was like, ah! And then I see this huge 18-wheeler truck right behind me go, bonk, 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 right over the top of it, and smash it. Now, it couldn't be smashed because it's foam, right? But I panicked. I got off the next exit. I came back around, went down, pulled the side of the interstate, ran out there, got the cheese wedge, brought it, threw it in the back of the truck, and tied it down. Maybe I put it in the front with me this time. I don't remember. But I looked at it, and it wasn't really ripped anywhere, but it had this huge black tractor trailer tire right down the middle of it. I mean, he had hit that thing dead on. It was black, you know, right down the middle. And I'm going, oh, no. Here I go. First, his wall. Now I tore up his cheese wedge. So I went back to the gym, and I hit it. I stuck it in the closet. I didn't want Scott to see it. And so I went to Scott and I said, hey, man, I got to talk to you about something. What happened? Well, you know, I went to that class or whatever, and I had the cheese wedge in the back. Yeah. Well, it kind of flew out the back. He said, well, did you go get it? I said, yeah, I went and got it. I said, but it's a little more than that. What happened? I said, well, a big truck ran over it. So I opened the door, showed it to him, this big black tire down the middle. He just smiled and shook his head and said, I can get plenty of cheese wedges. Don't worry about it. And one thing after another, he did things for me. There's more stories of personal expense he put into my life.
And it showed me a picture I didn't even realize was happening. That's what this means in this adoption process. This is what the Father does when he adopts you into the family. He says, you know what? He says, all of your expenses are mine. I'm now responsible for you. Whether it's right or whether it's wrong, you're my child and I'll take care of it. Some of you guys have had some cheese wedges run over, maybe even this week. Some of you have broken some walls down with a rotting lawnmower, so to speak. Whatever the case might be, listen, if you're a child of God, he's going to cover it. If it's financially, God will make sure it's taken care of financially. If it's something between friends and family, God's going to cover that. Now, I'm not saying that every relationship will be restored. I'm not saying that everything's going to be taken care of, but I am saying God will be faithful to cover those that are his. You're a part of his family. He's responsible for you. He owns you, and now you have a debt back to say, Lord, I love you, and I give myself to you. You are a full member of his family and a full child with all rights. And when that happens, look what happens. Look at verse 16. He says, then the Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God. What a powerful and challenging verse. Look at this. What Paul is saying here is that if we are saved, we will know it. Grasp that. I'm going to say it again. If we're saved, we will know it. How is Paul saying that? Because he's saying that God's Spirit bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God. Listen, if you don't know beyond a shadow of a doubt that you're a child of God, you're not. I'm not judging you. I'm sharing my heart with you because I was there. I didn't know that God had saved me because he hadn't. If someone said, do you know you're going to heaven? I would say, well, I hope so. I know beyond a shadow of a doubt now. I have no doubts in my mind. Anyone that says to me, when you die, where are you going? I'm going to the kingdom of God to be with Jesus Christ and the Father forever. I know it beyond a shadow of a doubt because his spirit bears witness with my spirit. Here's my plea to you. If his spirit is not bearing witness with your spirit this morning, you don't know him, but you can make it right. You simply ask him to forgive you. You ask him to come into your heart. You receive him as your Lord and your Savior. And the Bible says you will be born again and you will be a child in full standing with all the rights and privileges in the kingdom of God forever. And the cool thing about that is because you were chosen before the foundations of the earth, it's not like you're an add-on. It's not like it's an afterthought. It was already planned. You just didn't know it. That's what's exciting about being a part of God's family. Challenging verse. It bears witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. And look at this. Here's the benefits. This last verse, if we are children, he says, and if children, then heirs. That is inheritors. And notice he goes on, heirs of God, that's we inherit what the kingdom offers. And get this, this blows me away, joint heirs with Christ. In other words, what Jesus is being rewarded in heaven for what he has done on the earth, we are heirs with him. He's going to share his reward with us. We're one big family sharing in the rewards of the kingdom, of God's kingdom, of what Jesus Christ did on the planet, and we're just brought into the family. Who are we? How did we get included in this? Does anybody have a clue? Other than that God loves us and that he died for us. Amazing. And notice he adds this, if indeed we suffer with him, that we may also be glorified together. Now, what does it mean if indeed we suffer with him? Well, what it means basically is that if you choose to follow the Lord, there's going to be some level of suffering. You're going to have people that are going to make fun of you. They're going to mock you. They're going to sometimes maybe even physically abuse you, although that's very rare. But the bottom line is there's going to be some level of persecution that's going to come your way. And if you endure that and you don't walk away, you say, you know what? Somebody gives you a hard time. Oh, yeah, you're one of those Jesus guys, right? You better believe it. Oh, you believe Jesus is the only way to heaven? You got that right. Oh, wow, you think whatever the case might be, listen, those who stand with the Lord and suffer with him for his name's sake and were not ashamed of him, guys, we're children with full rights and full status in the kingdom of God. And it may be hard down here when people give you a hard time, wherever you're going and family or whoever you're around. But you know what? When you're in the kingdom of God, you're going to be so glad you did that. You're not going to be sad for 1 minute that you made a stand for the Lord and that you made a stand for Jesus Christ, because it's going to be worth it. And he says, if we will suffer with him, notice this, we may be glorified together, and that is all the reward of the kingdom eternally as a child of God. Wow. Guys, here's the question. Are you a child of God? Have you been adopted into the family? Have you been? If you have, you know it. Why? Because the Spirit is leading you, number one. We saw that early on in the verses. And also, the Spirit is now himself bearing witness with your spirit. Yeah, you're my child. Maybe the Spirit's saying to you today, all right, you're blowing it really bad. You're not walking with me, but you're mine. You're still a child of God. You're just not where you need to be. You need to repent and get it right. Maybe you're not hearing the Spirit say anything to you this morning other than, you know what? You need to make this decision to give your life to me because you don't know me. And I believe the Spirit's saying that to some of you this morning. Maybe some listening by radio, maybe some listening by internet, whatever the case may be, the Spirit will speak to anyone that is listening as long as their ears are open. And so God is challenging us this morning. Are we adopted in? Are we truly children of the Lord? If you're already a child of God, rejoice. You're a child of God. Enjoy it. Enjoy the full benefits and rights of that. If you're not, then you need to be adopted in. And we'll give you a moment to do that in just a second. I want to finish reading this article from this book called What's Good About This News. David Bartlett tells this story. He says this, "My wife and I have friends who have a wonderfully mixed family. Mixed in part because one of their sons is their biological offspring, and the other child, and rather children, are adopted. Not long ago, they were explaining to the youngest child that they'd adopted in what it meant to be adopted, and how excited they were to have him as a part of the family. And they emphasized this. He said, you've been chosen by us. We waited for you to make you a part of our family, and now we welcome you in with joy. And he began to get excited about how important it was for him to be adopted in. And as part of the story, they also had to explain that Mark, his biological brother, was their biological brother. You know, we had him, just your mom and dad together had him naturally, but we brought you into the family as we chose you and as we waited for you and all this joy for you coming in. And he got so excited about what it meant for him to, all these definitions for him to come into the family. When they had finished explaining what it meant to be adopted, he said to them, oh, this is so wonderful. Can we adopt Mark too? Guys, that's the heart of the Lord toward you. You're not the unwanted stepchild. You've not been adopted in as a mistake. Somebody didn't take you because the parents died in a crash. The Bible says you were chosen before the foundations of the world to be a part of God's family with full rights, full position, as though you were naturally born that way forever and ever and ever. And your brother, Jesus Christ, will share his inheritance with you. And he will be your God, and you will be in glory forever with him. Now you see why, as believers, we have every reason to rejoice. Here's my challenge. If you don't know the Lord, I challenge you to make that decision this morning so that you can be a part of the family of God. Let's pray. Lord, I thank you, God, that we in this room who already know you are in your family. Full rights, full adoption. We've been accepted. We were planned on. There's great rejoicing and joy that we're in the kingdom. Lord, you've not only accepted us as your responsibility, you have even, Lord, taken care of everything we've done wrong. And everything from this point on that we do wrong, you will take personal responsibility to fix it for us. It's amazing. It's overwhelming. It makes us rejoice, God. But Lord, I pray if there's anyone hearing this morning that's not a part of the family, and they're being convicted right now, Lord, that they need to give their life to you, that they want to be a part of the family. God, I just pray that right now they would accept you as their Lord. If that's you, you simply have to pray this prayer. You need to ask God to forgive you of your sins. Ask him to come into your heart and to be your Lord and your Savior. If you do that right now, the Bible says you'll be a child of God and you'll be in the kingdom. Father, do the work of your Spirit this morning. Continue the work of your Spirit. Thank you, Lord, for bringing us into your family. And thank you, Lord, for all of those that you'll be bringing into your family from this point on, fully accepted and fully brothers and sisters. We rejoice, Lord, that we know you and that we're children of our King and our God. And we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.